time for Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne. Presented by Les Schwab Tires. It's live, local talk that matters to you. Now, here's Brent and Dave.
Hello and welcome to Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne. I don't know if it feels like it's summer in the city, Dave, but nice choice on the music there.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
This is Newsmakers presented by Les Schwab Tires. And if you're looking for Kevin Jackson, he will be on 1 to 3 weekdays. And this noon hour is now reserved for local topics, initiatives, individuals, institutions, all that good stuff. We're going to talk about things pertinent to Salem, Kaiser, Marion, and Polk counties, all sorts of things. And we have the good fortune today of having on with us in the studio is the mayor of the city of Salem, Chuck Bennett. Welcome, Chuck.
Good afternoon. Thank you.
We're going to grill you long and hard today about a number of topics.
Oh, boy.
Actually, we're an easy audience. You're talking about the things that you're passionate about. I want to start by saying full disclosure of some things. I am a former city councilor, and I served for 4 years, 2004 to 08. Mm-hmm. I served with Chuck, as a matter of fact,
that's
across
correct.
The way.
Yeah.
And he always made very strange looks at me every time I had anything to say of an initiative. And I'm just making that up. Anyway, it's a delight to have you serving as mayor. I want to thank you, because a lot of people in Salem don't realize that you're a volunteer, that you don't get paid, the counselors don't get paid. You're probably putting in how many hours a week now?
Oh, probably, it varies, 30, 40 hours a week.
30 to 40 hours a week. And I remember as a counselor, it was 20 hours a week. Same time I was doing Little League at about 20 hours a week.
Yeah, exactly.
I had a few full-time jobs.
Yeah.
So, Chuck Bennett, when were you elected?
I was elected about 2 years ago to be mayor. And prior to that, I served 9 years on the council. I was appointed to the council. My recollection is you were the deciding vote to appoint me to the council when there became an opening on it. And then I was elected twice to the city council from Ward 1, which is sort of central Salem, mm-hmm. downtown, and then the inner neighborhoods, Highland Grant, northeast neighbors, that particular area.
And since you've been elected, you retired.
I have retired. I retired in March, which has been a real, really a godsend in terms of time. I was working full time and then also being mayor, and it was just a real difficult situation. There's a lot of moving parts in all of that. So I'm very pleased to be retired now.
Good for
very
you.
Very pleased to
always
be
is in that kind
now.
Of transition. Yeah. We're going to talk to the mayor about a number of topics, from downtown issues to infrastructure to taxations to budgeting into the future, all sorts of things. And some of the topics that have just come before the council, and some of them who are just coming up. And of course, some of the most important topics for the region right now is the third bridge.
Yeah, that is coming up Monday, the 26th of November. That has been a topic I think most people know for more than a decade here in Salem, this specific third bridge. Really, it's an issue that the city's been trying to deal with, another river crossing since, for my recollection, the 1970s, and I understand there may have been discussion back in the 1960s, but really when you get to the 1970s, you began dealing in a fairly complicated state, federal, and local process, and that's what we're completing now. This current environmental impact statement process for the third bridge began about 12 years ago. It was virtually completed. We've hit a point now where there was an appeal of it to the land of the EIS mm-hmm. to the Land Use Board of Appeals. They sent it back with three really administrative level changes, a minor land use change, a change in population forecasts, and one other that I just frankly can't even remember.
Yeah, unless you're the mayor, unless you're on city council staff, you get a lot of acronyms.
Right.
In my industry and my day job, we call them TLAs. There's a TLAs everywhere. There's three-letter acronyms for everything. It's the EIS for the LUB, and it just goes on and
it's
on.
It's amazing. Well, what it amounts to is on Monday night, we will vote to instruct the staff to complete our portion of the environmental impact statement. We have had, when you go for 12, 13 years, you begin to change city councils. Now, we had city councils you and I have served on where there was unanimous support for this for about 10 years, which caused the process to keep moving forward. There have been opponents to this. I know this will come as a shock. It's a minority in the community, but there have been opponents. They have successfully elected now, it looks like, potentially a majority of the city council who will say, we do not want to go ahead with this. Well, understand, we've invested $8 million along with the state of Oregon and the federal government.
That's real taxpayer money, folks.
A lot of it's national money, but it's still money out of all of our pockets.
Yeah.
And they are ready to just call it quits. Now, some of them like to say, well, I'm for a third bridge, just not this third bridge. The problem is it takes a generation, really, about 20 years to get a bridge project completed, built, and moving traffic. And if we were to start over again, it would be another 20 years if we were to look for a new location. And after a lengthy process like this, this really is the correct location. And the other issue around it is, besides serving the people of Salem, West Salem, and well, really both sides of the river, it's really a regionally needed piece of infrastructure. If you want to move product from the coast through onto I-5, the single bottleneck here is at our bridges, at the Center and Marion Street bridges.
Right downtown. Yeah. That's where we want
to
congested,
you're
going
to come into an area where there's substantial commuter traffic out of West Salem trying to go to work. You're bringing your product into this, and you've got to navigate downtown streets all the way through Salem to get to I-5 to get your product to Portland. This has really caused, I think will cause real issues over in Polk County, Lincoln County, and big parts of Marion County.
Yeah, quality of life
real
in West
disturbing.
Salem, or anybody who wants to go. It's just
we
it's
get
too frustrating
focused
for
on that quality of life issue, the congestion issue. That's just one of the issues,
right.
And it's the big one. It's the one I hear most about when I experience it, and I have. Where the whole thing just shuts down because of a rolled over hay truck and you got to drive to Independence to get across the river. That just happened recently. These are real difficult problems, but we've also got just lost hours of work, of activity by people just sitting in line over there. I think it has a whole batch of negative consequences. We're going to find out whether we have a majority of the council prepared to finish this thing on Monday night, or if they say no, we'll be looking forward to finding out, will the city of Salem be on the hook to pay back the $8 million or some portion thereof, because the city for 10 years supported this project. And the real question, I think, also is can you take on big, difficult infrastructure projects in a community where you have elections every couple years and you can get small groups that gin up opposition and the thing turns around? It's a very interesting question to me, and one that I think will challenge Salem for years to come.
Yeah, and we had Councilor Jim Lewis on last week, so we don't want to hit this too hard, and we'll have plenty of topics here to talk about goings-on in the city. But he made some pretty good points about holding hostage Polk County, holding hostage Marion County and ODOT and all the work that they've done, holding hostage transportation from I-5 to the coast, and even the coastal communities, and that you have these five people that did very well, a good job, a grassroots campaigning, and got elected. Salem, pay attention to whom you are voting, for whom you are voting.
They need to do what's good for the entire good.
Yeah, all, and public safety.
Yeah, all of it.
And if, you know, Councilor Lewis made the point, he's like, how many people are going to have to die in the back of an ambulance that can't get across the bridge?
Yeah, well, there's a whole batch of issues I'm sure will be discussed Monday night.
All right, Monday night. And so if people are concerned, then they should write their counselor. They should show up, perhaps. And they should pay attention when they're voting about where people are in infrastructure. Mm-hmm. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come and talk about some other fun city topics here on Newsmakers on 1430 KYKN, Salem's Listening.
Newsmakers continues with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Welcome back to Newsmakers, presented by Les Schwab Tires, noon to one weekdays, immediately followed by Kevin Jackson, 1 to 3 weekdays. This is Brent DeHart here with Dave Bourne. In studio, we have the mayor of Salem. Chuck?
Hello.
Yeah.
Again.
Hello again. Welcome back.
Hey, I wanted to make one thing real clear.
Okay.
On this third bridge, there's no do-over on this thing. This is it Monday night. If you're concerned about this issue, I think it's Monday night or it may never come up again. And for this generation. So
that's
sad. Oh, it is. I just want to make it real clear. This is not like, well, gosh, we could try it again. It doesn't work that way.
Yeah. This started 15 years ago, 12 to 15 years ago.
Yeah.
We've been working on it this long. We've been paying for it all along with regional partners.
Yeah.
Frankly, I would love if ODOT, whoever's chair of ODOT, to come in and bang us fist on the table and bang a shoe on the table, maybe like Khrushchev.
I welcome
and, it. Polk County and Marion County and the city of Kaiser. And actually, Salem Kaiser Transit was part of this whole process as well. And anyway,
yeah.
All right.
Okay.
No do-overs.
Sorry, I just want to make it real clear. This isn't something where if somebody says, well, I just don't like that location. Well, it all starts over completely, and we're talking a 20-year process.
Yeah. And it won't be changed.
Which I won't be here for, thank God.
That's mind-boggling.
Let's talk about something that was funny. Just came up.
Yeah.
A council meeting or two ago. There was a counselor at Ward 2, Tom Anderson, and he had a council motion to start the process of paying counselors, which up till now have been volunteer.
Yeah.
How did that go?
Not well for Tom. Only two counselors voted for it. The remainder of the council said no. There was some discussion among some of the counselors of, well, we could put it to vote of the people. The reality is the charter of the city of Salem is very clear. These are volunteer jobs, and every one of us, you've been through it, obviously I'm in the middle of it. We signed up to be volunteers. We do this because we love our city, we enjoy the work, and we think we bring good ideas to the table. Now, good or bad ideas, but depending on how you look at things politically.
Yeah.
But one thing we all understood, we don't get paid for doing this. We do this as part of our public volunteerism. And people do all kinds of different volunteer work. I mean, I look just at City Hall. There are people who come in for hours a day shelving books as volunteers. They certainly should be paid before I should be paid. I mean, they've got a specific job they do. There's a guy that cleans out the police cars. Now, there is a thankless piece of work.
Oh.
He doesn't get paid. He is a volunteer. We had just celebrated the tens of thousands of volunteer hours that come to the city of Salem, and then this issue came up. We also are talking about a $6 million gap in city funds, and this came up. And this is a couple $100,000 to pay these guys. It also, I think, was packaged to avoid a public vote. And I found that discomforting. But I think the main thing is, and I think counselors felt this way too, we do this as volunteers. We don't run the city. We don't have bureaus like they do in Portland, which means we're actually a well-run city.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The city's run basically by a city manager that
That's
the city
correct.
Council hires. So it is a model used in most cities of our size, all over the place, where the volunteer public policy body has one employee, and that's the city manager, and the city manager runs the city. So he's a professional.
Yeah. I think, look at the city of Portland. They pay a substantial salary to their mayor and council. How's that going for them?
Yeah, right.
Not only that.
I look at Congress. They're paid a really substantial, couple hundred thousand bucks a year, plus the whole set of packaged benefits. They've got a 15%, 10-15% rating from the public saying you're doing a decent job. Here in Salem, we're getting about 91%. We're happy with the way you're doing it. The reason people here like the way it happens, it's efficient, it's well run, it's professional, and no elected official is thinking they're totally in charge.
Or they're lining their pockets.
Or anything else. No, it's a... I know there are people who feel strongly about this, that somehow if you'll pay counselors, you'll get better people running. Again, look at Portland, look at Congress, and you tell me that is a better group of people.
Yeah, right.
Well, while we're on the topic, and I was going to save this till later, but it's a nonpartisan position.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, we've had some people run very much in a sector kind of way, and... I'll tell you, in Salem, the great things I've seen happen and the big initiatives that have happened, the fire bond 10 years ago and the last Salem Kaiser School bond for $240 million, streets and bridges, $100 million bond, a lot of great, the Kroc Center creation, the conference center, they all happened because they didn't have opposition, because people were not factional. We worked together, and we have to. We have to. We can't be infighting. Salem's not big enough to have factions. This is not Trump versus Pelosi when we get down to, you know, what we're doing here. And unfortunately, people are knocking door to door thinking, you know, trying to get the, well, there's boogeymen in town and they don't love their city and you need to vote me in to protect you from the boogeymen.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like they feel like anybody who is making a dollar is doing so at the expense of somebody else, and it creates suffering for somebody else, and it creates the city is not as good as it would be if they were not making that dollar. And boy, it's been real frustrating, and what should have been a nonprofit attitude. And they get it into it, Chuck, and I will let you talk here in a minute. But, you know, you get there, you know it's about water and sewer and clean water, which we should talk about the algae bloom. But it's about sidewalks, and it's about the police department. It's about how many fire engines can roll and how old they are. It's all pragmatic stuff.
Yeah.
It really is not Trump versus Pelosi. It is not right versus left. And it really kind of does the city a disservice to have a factional kind of herd mentality.
Well, certainly, city government is really a service. It's a service government. It really is public safety, livable neighborhoods, a vibrant downtown.
Well, jump into downtown a little bit.
Infrastructure. You know, it's really reliable infrastructure. Those are the real issues that confront cities. The broader, bigger ideological issues get brought in, I think, when people don't want, they're somehow not interested in what their public really wants, which is sidewalk, streets, bike paths, the whole shebang. So we'll see how that goes. I think, though, that's what's so good about having professional management that know how to run a city. They keep you pretty well focused on the right issues, I think.
And where would you throw the plastic bag ban and the inclusive city initiatives in this topic conversation?
Yeah, I think the plastic bag ban, I think, has there is a genuine debate around that, because it's really affecting our ability to recycle. And the public has not really done a real good job with plastic bags. They throw them into the recycling. That's not where they belong. And what it does is shut down our recycling plant a couple hours a day so some guy can crawl up in there and peel the plastic bags out of the grinder. So there's some discussion there. I think it might be, personally, I think it's a little overblown, but I certainly understand in terms of what's happened with our recycling system, how that has become a genuine problem. And I'll just be honest with you. I don't like plastic bags stuck in a tree in my yard. I just can't help myself. Or if I walk by a creek and see a bunch of plastic bags, I don't like it.
All right. So we're going to give you the benefit of the doubt there. It's not completely politically polarizing, but there's some pragmatic reasons.
I think there are some pragmatic reasons. I think there's some others too at play.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about how the city is funded. We probably just have a few minutes before the break, and how you see the city budget coming up. And there's a recent revenue task force that was convened to close a gap.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you can fit that in a few minutes.
I can say it in a few minutes. Let's begin with how the city basically is funded. It's with property taxes. Property taxes in the city of Salem do not cover the cost of police and fire. That
you know
doesn't
that,
include.
How is that?
How's that possible?
Yeah.
Every single dollar property tax still does not equal the amount that we spend on police and fire.
Yeah, that's correct.
So somebody's not budgeting correctly somewhere.
No. It's really, you want to close your library. Do you want to stop building sidewalks? Do you want to, you see what happens?
Yeah.
It's all those other services people would like to have. Cost more. Now, we have other sources of revenue. Don't misunderstand. We have a franchise fee. We have whole parts of the city are handled by actual user costs. You know, planning. If you want to change a zone, you pay to change the zone, to hire the staff to do it. Our streets and bridges and all that are handled by other funds. We have an urban renewal agency that allows us to use funds for other parts of it. So it's a fairly big operation, fairly complicated funding. But the actual people think their property taxes pay for everything the city does. They don't.
Police, fire, and schools, right?
Police, fire.
That's it?
For the city. Schools are, part of it comes from property taxes.
Okay.
A big portion of it comes from state income taxes.
Okay.
Yeah, it's our property tax system changed years ago, and the result is it's capped, and it's allowed to grow at about 3% per year, but the costs and expectations of government grow a little faster than that. And we have some costs that we really don't control at the city level. We don't control the cost of the state-mandated retirement system.
PERS,
which is, for the next 20 years, going to be a factor in the cost of government in Oregon. There's just no doubt about it. And there don't appear to be a lot of solutions to it at this point. The courts have ruled on any solution the legislature has tried, but it's really the state controls it. Healthcare costs are constantly going up. The city has dealt with it by being self-insured, but you still can't. We've opened a wellness center. We're working closely with our employees to keep our workers' comp costs down, things like that. But those personnel costs are about generally 80% or more of the budget, of any public budget. So that's kind of where we are at this point.
But so you get told what
there's a gap, ultimately, I guess. Yeah. I see we're coming up on the break. There is a gap of about $6 million, and I can go into where that, $6 to $8 million.
Wow.
That's a lot of dough for a city.
That's
well,
a lot.
It's a, but remember, this is a budget of around $400 million. So that's not a monster. It's manageable. We just need to figure out how to manage it.
So Chuck, I think I heard you say, don't come to the city and ask them to fix PERS. That's going to happen to the big house.
Yes.
That's right. Hey. Yeah. I know people would like to believe there's something, their school board or their city council or the transit board can do. There really isn't. This is all state law.
And one that was a huge surprise for me when I was on council is that we were limited on the things that we could negotiate with the public employee unions, being the fire, you know, workers union or the police union or the civic union. And we couldn't do anything. We couldn't touch PERS. Even if we wanted to, we couldn't step in for them to have a contribution. And so there are some real restrictions in terms of what the city cannot do, and it has to be fixed by the state. So thank you. We're here with Chuck Bennett, City of Salem Mayor, and we're going to be back and talk about as many topics as we can get into the short hour. This is Brent DeHart with Dave Bourne. You listen to Newsmakers on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This is Newsmakers with Brent and Dave on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Nice relaxing night in the city.
Let's just that one roll, huh?
With Glenn Frey. I miss him.
Yeah.
Welcome back.
Thank you. Thanks for that. And welcome back to Newsmakers presented by Les Schwab Tires. Well, my wife and I, we're big Eagles fans. So yeah. we're missing Glenn Frey. It was excellent. It was incredible at the Rose Garden Moda Center. Sorry. To see the Eagles and Glenn Frey's son was playing with them.
I saw that.
Very emotional.
I saw that too.
It's good stuff. All right. Rather than talk about the Eagles, we're going to talk about Salem,
okay.
At least for the rest of the hour. Chuck Bennett, Mayor, City of Salem. Those of you looking for Kevin Jackson, he will be on at the top of the hour, 1 to 3, still here on KYKN. This is Brent DeHart along with Dave Bourne, and we're talking city stuff. And just before the break, we were talking about how the city is funded, and there was one topic we didn't get to. The revenue task force that was initiated.
The
how
council,
to raise more money.
Yeah, the council last year did a kind of policy and goals process. And one of the things they called for was a revenue task force to deal with what amounts to a kind of structural shortfall in the city's funding. We have to have a certain amount of reserves by council ordinance. And we're starting to eat into those as we do different kinds of we're reopening Station 11, a fire station in West Salem. That costs just over $1 million a year, year in and year out.
Just to staff it.
Just to staff it and keep it rolling. And that's not heavy staffing. It's 24/7, but it's not like we're putting a lot of extra guys over there. But it's a public safety issue. Those kinds of things begin to build in the cost of PERS going up, the cost of health care going up, keeps driving costs ahead of the growth of property taxes, franchise fees, or other funds we have. So council said, let's take a look at adding a new fee. They took a look at a business license fee at this revenue committee and said, no, we do not recommend that. And I think that'll still be talked about a little bit, but ultimately this committee said, and it's a committee of various kinds of stakeholders in the community. What I think the committee is going to recommend, and I'm just forecasting, and there's probably members of the committee going, what is he doing? but I'll just give you my best shot as to what I think is going to happen. I think there'll be a recommendation to City Council that they go to voters with a 1 or 2 cent gas tax in the city of Salem and ask the voters if they would agree to that. And that would be used exclusively for sidewalks, streets. We have a sidewalk program, very underfunded. People who have sidewalks that have been there for a few decades know we got some sidewalks in serious trouble in this community, which means people trying to navigate them are having experiences like my wife, which is taking a header walking down our street on a sidewalk. We need to do something about those. So that would be what that's for. Now that would go to the voters. There also is a suggestion for a utility fee, which would be a flat rate fee of $6, $7, $8, whatever it would be, a month on, and I'm not sure what the number is that anyone would agree to, on every utility bill in the city, and that would be, and there are certain details in that I'm not going to go into because it gets really into the weeds. It creates a little bit of a graduation in terms of different kinds of users, but that would go on to utility. That was done in the city of Kaiser to pay for police, additional police. Mm-hmm. It was also done in the city of Almsville where they recalled most of the city council are doing it. So there's certainly a sensitivity, and rightly so. There ought to be a sensitivity.
Can't you just solve the PERS issue then, and they'll take care of that?
Yeah. Then there's a proposed payroll tax. This one, unlike the one that was proposed by the Transit Board, if you'll recall, they wanted to do a payroll tax paid by employers. This would be paid for by employees, a very, very tiny percentage. But what it does that is attractive to this committee is it gets to about 16,000 state workers who come into the city of Salem and don't pay for any service here. They come in from outside of our city boundary, so they're not paying for the use of our police, our fire, our ambulances, our streets, our water, all the services they get to use. And that has been a big issue in Salem for many years, is the state of Oregon doesn't pay taxes, and it's costing the city about $3.5 million in property taxes a year.
Yeah.
So there's real interest in that one.
That's a whole subject in itself. We should tackle it when you come
It'd
back,
It'd be interesting
Chuck,
sometime.
Is
yeah.
We are the volunteer city, as the mayor was talking about earlier. We are a volunteer city, much more so than Eugene. Even though we're about the same size, the amount of revenue Salem has is less because of what you just said.
Well,
but
that's
the state
part of
is
it.
Not paying taxes,
that,
property
that's
taxes.
Part of it. Plus, Eugene has a higher tax base, and it's all based on Measure 5 and 50. And
there's a lot of taxes.
And I understand they have three bridges, too.
Yeah.
They have three bridges.
Oh, at least. Or, yeah.
All right. So revenue task force, a number of things out there.
Yeah,
Would that income tax,
payroll tax,
would that go before the voters?
Well, I think it should. I think any time you're going to start taxing people, you ought to take it in front of them. I think it's a real mistake for a public body to think they have the wisdom to come into my pocket and take my money without letting me give you permission and to justify to me what you want to use the money for.
Yeah.
They don't have to. So that'll be one of the discussion items.
They don't have to?
Nope.
What happened to taxation without representation? I mean, that's why we left.
Yeah,
several hundred people voted for
that. That's why we left England. Come
these
on.
These are fees. And it's,
No.
No. It's a legalism, yeah. And it allows this to happen. So I think it's something people want to pay attention to. Be glad to come back. Keep you posted on what's going on around these costs.
Absolutely.
So the people, and they may be listening right now, and we want to kill them with kindness, actually. And we're talking about people
just
that
took a hammer to the radio after hearing
that don't live in Salem. Well, with our revitalization of downtown and all the things that are happening, all the activities, all the restaurants, all of the living opportunities, the redevelopment, you know, we have people, I'm sure there's going to come a point where they're getting tired of going up and down I-5 and going to Tigard and Beaverton and Portland and Tualatin and all those other cities from where they are commuting, going up and down in the
They are. So, they're moving here.
Yeah. When we get them to move downtown, we're going to have more vibrancy. We're going to have more arts. hopefully more shops, and we won't continue to lose initiatives like when Nordstrom closed.
Well, Nordstrom closed, okay? Gee, that's too bad. That was not my, you know, I'm not a Nordstrom guy, but we've already got people looking at the Nordstrom store for alternative uses. I think it's important to know that what's really happening is as space opens up in this community, somebody's looking at it to move in.
Sure. Prime real estate downtown.
Oh, I'm telling you, this is an absolute boom. Part of it is our prices are reasonable here still. We still are a bargain for people who want to move out of the metropolitan area. The housing prices here are still reasonable. We still have houses for sale. You know, apartments for rent, although our vacancy rates are very, very low. We have developments on the north end of town. About 600 lots are being developed up there on Kale Road.
I like going to Almsville, just outside of town.
Yeah, well, the north campus of the state hospital is going to be redeveloped into housing, and it's going to be single-family, multifamily, and townhouses in that about 40 acres. There's a lot going on here. We're having record building permits pulled. This is a city on the move. Now, we have controversy. There are developments that people like or don't like. You know, it's all kind of a not in my backyard world out there.
Mm-hmm. As always.
So we've got a lot going on here, and I think it's reflected in our downtown, where we've got hundreds of people living downtown, more being added regularly, and our restaurant scene, I think, is excellent. Our music scene is fantastic, I think.
There's three theater operators downtown that were not there 5-10 years ago.
Yeah, live theater.
Live comedy, live theater, yeah.
It's remarkable. It's absolutely remarkable. So I hope people are taking time to come downtown on a regular basis. Probably our biggest problem, we were talking about it earlier, is making sure everybody has a place to park. And we still let them park for free.
That's what
really
I like.
Yeah.
That's what I like the most.
And the homeless. And so in my day job, I have an office next to that's close to the Union Gospel Mission. And perhaps we'll have Dan Clem on and talk to him about the initiative to move that or somebody else over there. But and there are great things. So it's nice to have a segment here where we're talking about some really positive things and some growth and development. And that's all going to work well for the city of Salem. So we'll talk more about problems here coming up. We got the city of Salem Mayor Chuck Bennett in studio with us at KYKN 1430. Salem's listening.
Newsmakers continues with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
We built this city. We built this city on rock and roll. Built this city. We built this city on rock and roll.
Welcome back. This is Newsmakers, presented by Les Schwab Tires. I'm laughing because
I'm going to start doing that at council meetings. That just awesome. Kind of sets the mood.
People don't know how old I am, presumably. They're just hearing me on the radio. But Dave, you just kind of nailing my generation there.
That's right.
With, I played all these songs when they were new.
Is that right,
yeah.
Really?
Oh, now
that's
we know
great.
How old Dave is. So, this is Newsmakers. We're sponsored by Les Schwab Tires. It is on KYK. We're talking local topics, local issues, local individuals, noon to one weekdays. Kevin Jackson's on 1 to 3 weekdays. He's still with us. But here this noon hour, we're going to talk about local people and things that are happening that affect your pocketbook, affect your quality of life, affect your kids, and our society in general. So Mayor Chuck Bennett's here. Boy, the hour is going fast. There's so many other things. You'll come back, right?
Oh, yeah, anytime.
Okay, we're talking a little bit about it. We're going to have the police chief, Jerry Moore, is going to be on the show tomorrow.
Great.
And so we'll have an update.
Best police chief in the country, by the way.
Yeah, that's high praise from the mayor.
Very, very good.
And I'll tell him you said that. And we'll be talking to the police chief about the new police facility. We'll be talking to him about all sorts of statistics that actually, most of the time, the citizens don't know how many people are patrolling, what their calls are, what the challenges are in recruiting, and things like that.
Yeah.
Me, for civic government, for local government that's closest to the people, it's about infrastructure, and it's about public safety. If you're not keeping the people safe, then you really shouldn't go to goals B, C, and D, if you ask me. But so public safety, the fire. We were talking about that and reopening the West Salem station as far as staffing it. The structure was paid for by the 2008 bond measure.
That's right.
And I remember thinking it was a huge dollar. It was like $24 million. And for $24 million, we got all new rolling stock. Every truck in the entire system was replaced.
Yeah.
We got three new ones, brand new fire stations. And prior to 2008, we had a bunch of fire stations that did not have emergency power.
Yeah.
So in the case of an earthquake, power went out.
Oh, yeah.
The first responders didn't have power.
Oh.
That's crazy. And they had not been retrofitted for earthquake preparedness. So, yeah, we'd have fire engines and first responders under rubble with no power. But the city of Salem does have a very strong track record of being very prudent and good stewards of the taxpayer dollars when it comes to these kind of bond measures.
Yeah, I really agree. In fact, we've got, a really genuinely outstanding fire chief, fire department, his leadership team, as well as every one of the guys on the ground. I think the public doesn't really realize what the fire department actually does. Very little. They'll have, and I'll just do some broad numbers, but say they have 20,000 calls a year. 700 will be for fires, and the rest are emergency medical issues. Mm-hmm. And every firefighter is an EMT. Every single one of them. That is their base job, actually. And they are the first responders, and they are really lifesavers. But the chief looked at our numbers in terms of survival, particularly of heart attacks. And he has developed a program in this city that I don't think has gotten enough publicity, and I'll just mention it, and I hope you'll have the chief on to talk about it. He and his department are training every eighth grader in the Salem School District on CPR.
Good.
Wow. And lives are starting to be saved. We're getting to where we're saving 57%, about double the national average, in terms of someone having a heart attack here. He's taking this further. He's aiming at about 80% survival rate of these major cardiac events. They have AEDs everywhere.
Oh,
they
yeah.
have applications on your cell phone that'll tell you how close an AED is. You can be alerted. You can be trained in CPR. So they'll say, you know, Brent's having a heart attack. You're just right next to him.
Let him go. I'm just kidding.
Now, we're going to save
you. Get a 13-year-old that knows CPR. He would come safe.
It really is quite a remarkable program. So I think it's important to
All right, Chuck, we got about 2 minutes left. Okay. Anything that's coming up that they want the public to be aware of in the next year? And also, how many more times are you going to run?
Well, you know, I'm just starting in January. I'll be sworn in for another 2 years. I'm going to kind of play each one by ear. I enjoy being mayor. I think things are going well in the city right now. And I don't know. I don't. I enjoy it quite a bit. So whenever I enjoy something, I tend to just stick with it, you know. We'll see what happens. I think a year from now, I'll have to be real clear. I'm either running for re-election or I'm not. The mayor runs every 2 years. Councilors right. run every four. So it's a kind of a treadmill in terms of campaigning. I do want to mention the tree lighting ceremony here at City of Salem occurs down at Riverfront Park on December 6th. So I want to be sure everyone who takes that in, it's usually about 6 o'clock in the evening.
That's a fun time.
Really great fun time. So want to make sure folks know about that. We have the Grand Menorah lighting over by City Hall for Hanukkah on December 2nd. And that is also become a really great community event. We get a lot of folks out for that. So I want to mention those two events. And then if you haven't signed up, become a bell ringer for Salvation Army. I'll be doing mine here in the next few days over at the Sky Bridge by Kohl's. And it's one of the highlights for my wife and I. We really enjoy doing bell ringing. So I hope folks will call Major Dave at Salvation Army and sign up to do some bell ringing.
Great. Great message going into the Thanksgiving holiday. Mayor Chuck Bennett, we appreciate you being here. We appreciate
thank
your
you.
Service to the city.
Well, thank you.
You're a very pragmatic voice. This is Brent D. Hart here with Dave Boren. We're on Newsmakers at the Noon Hour, KYKN. We'll be back tomorrow with a police chief, the city of Salem. Stay with us for local talk. This is 1430 KYKN, Salem's Listening.
This has been Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne, presented by Les Schwab Tires on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.